If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter 2, and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good works or your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place before your word. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here. Handle it accurately, communicate it clearly, so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come today to hear from you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The world Peter had in view as he's writing refers to the people his readers faced every day as witnesses, as citizens, and as slaves or employees. Peter challenged Christians to take a stand against sin, to submit to lawful authority, and when necessary, to endure harsh masters or employers patiently. This kind of conduct, Peter says, can win others to faith in Christ. This morning, we're going to look at the first two challenges. The first is in verses 11 and 12. Keep your behavior excellent. We need to live godly, holy, obedient lives. But what struck me is right here at the beginning of verse 11, he says, as aliens and strangers. One of the things that Peter wants his readers to understand is that we should never get really comfortable here. We should always feel like we kind of don't belong. We should regularly have this in the back of our mind, this feeling that I'm not home yet. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Peter says, that's how you need to be feeling. And if the reverse is the case, take note. I'm not the only one, am I? That from time to time gets so comfortable here. That heaven starts to lose a little bit of the shine. But then when I start to think of who I am and where I'm at, and reminded of all that God has planned for those who are His, I realize again, I'm not home. This is not what I was made for. I should regularly feel like a bit of an alien, a stranger in a land that isn't mine. We should never get too comfortable with this world. And if we will choose to pursue that behavior of excellence, Peter says in verse 12, if we do that, so that they may, because of your good deeds, they see you and the choices that you make, and the result of the choices that you make, glorify God, he says, end of verse 12 there, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, that's an interesting phrase. What does it mean? Well, what Peter is telling his readers and what he's telling you and me is that if we will live a life in the pursuit of excellence, in the pursuit of holiness, in the pursuit of obedience, and our unbelieving family, friends, neighbors see us, some of them will, by our example, as the result of our example, come to Christ. And the day of visitation is the coming of Christ, when we all stand before Him. And there will be some there because of the life you chose to live, Peter says. Because you didn't get so comfortable here. Because you were looking forward to life after life. Because you knew who God is and that He loved you, that Jesus died for you, and you lived in light of that, and others saw it, and some came to believe. And they will be there with you that day. That day of visitation, so that they may, because of your good deeds, glorify God. The life that we live can be winsome. And that really is a word. My computer didn't try to re-spell it or say, what are you talking about? Even my computer knew what that word was. You can live a life that by your example draws others to what you believe. That's winsome. It's a real thing. Keep your behavior excellent. In this crowd, this next challenge will be the toughest of the three. Submit to every human institution. Verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. We live in a day when it has become very popular to demean our leaders. And it doesn't matter who you voted for, who you supported. The church has gotten wrapped up in this partisan notion that if we don't like our leaders, we don't have to accept them. We can reject them. We can do a lot of things. What does Peter say? Obey them. Now, what I want to do is I want to go through these verses. And yes, we'll see what Peter says, but I want you to, what I've underlined is why. Why should we submit to every human institution? Well, verse 13 says, for the Lord's sake. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether king or governor. Now remember, friends, when Peter is writing, 64 AD, somewhere about, not only is Donald Trump not president, Joe Biden is not president. Nero is ruler of the known world. If there was ever a time for a sign that said, not my Caesar, it was this one. What does Peter say? For the Lord's sake. Believers, be careful about how you get involved in these things. These rulers are there, verse 14, as sent by him. Oh, I might have some questions about that from time to time. In my arrogance, God, what were you thinking? But at the end of the day, he is still sovereign. One voice that I listen to regularly, in the midst of one of the last tremendous political uproars, said in a sermon, folks, tell the children God is still in charge. We need to live like that. Yeah, do I question? Sure. I could say almost anything and get an amen from half of you and a from the other half. I know that. But what we should all agree upon is that whoever's in charge, God put him or her there. So we submit to every human institution for the Lord's sake, as sent by him, verse 14, and this may surprise some of you, verse 15, for such is the will of God. Ever wanted to know, well, what is the will of God for my life? Among other things, to be a good citizen. Obey the laws. Not assume that I'm above any of the law. Because that's the will of God. He put those people there for a reason. Do they violate that sometimes? Yes, all of that. But they are there to punish the evildoer, to encourage and to protect those who obey the law. And so a correct attitude toward whoever's in charge, a respectful attitude toward whoever's in charge, is the will of God. So be careful how you talk. My brother-in-law a veteran, Vietnam veteran, retired Army, in his retirement, drove for the VA van for the VA hospital. And every once in a while, he'd be going, and the guys in back would start degrading the president. And what would he do? Pull the bus over and stop and say, guys, don't forget, he's the commander-in-chief. You don't have to agree with him all the time, but be careful how you talk about him, because he is our president. See, Roger understood. For such is the will of God. And then verse 16, as bond slaves or servants of God, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, disobedience, unlawful acts, but use it as bond slaves of God or servants of God, understanding that citizenship is actually a part of living an obedient life. Now, for these folks, did that ever mean civil disobedience? Absolutely. There were Jews and Christians dying daily because they refused to bow before Caesar. They refused to take the oath that required worship of Caesar, because they learned what Peter taught early on: if we have to choose between obeying God and obeying man, we obey God. So is there a place? Absolutely. Understanding that we are bond slaves, are servants of God. In our service of God, if then we must disobey, yes. But like those men and women, expect the punishment that the state demands. Why? Because we are bond servants, bond slaves, or servants of God. In conclusion, the application is here for us in verse 17. First of all, honor all people. Show proper respect. Somewhere along the line, our culture lost sight of that. Respect for others. Secondly, he says, love the brotherhood. And for Peter, that brotherhood are Jews, because Peter's Jewish. Jewish Christians, and those Gentiles who have come to Christ. Love them all. In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, in John 15, at least twice, Jesus challenged the disciples to love one another. You don't know what's coming in the next 24 hours. You don't know what's coming in the next 72 hours. But love one another. When Jesus was questioned, what is the greatest commandment? He said, well, there are two. Love God with your heart, your soul, your mind. And then he said, oh, by the way, there's a second that's right there too. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he went on to explain it. All of the commandments, not just the 10 that speak to morality, but all 613 of them, all of them fall under one or the other of the categories. Love the brotherhood. And if we had continued to reading in Romans 13, we'd have gotten to verse 10 where he says, love is the fulfillment of the law. If we love God, if we love one another, truly love, we will live a life of obedience. So honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God. And that is, at the very least, putting him in his proper place, showing him proper respect, reverence, honor. And that may even include genuine fear that somehow I might disappoint him or fall short. But fear God. And here it is. Some of us may have wished to erase it, but the last one in verse 17, honor the king, the emperor, the president, the prime minister. Give him proper respect. And when we do that, your testimony will ring true. And there will be some who will see that. And it will prove to be winsome and draw them not to you, but to your Savior. And they'll be one of those that will enjoy heaven with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. And again, I pray that we've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly, so that we can be both encouraged and challenged by your word today. Thank you for speaking. May we have had the eyes and the ears to see and to hear, and the determination to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.